Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
Roll well. I'm actually, you know, some of the teams we talk about, like the Chiefs or whatever, like you might like the guests, but I'm not super excited to talk about the team. But I actually have a lot of thoughts and takes on the team we're about to discuss. So let's usher in our guest. And
oh, you don't like the guest, huh?
I think
Akiva, you're right, because whichever team is on Hard Knocks every year, everybody has a lot of takes about that team because we get to watch, you know, the curated 1 hour weekly version of them.
Sure.
I've become a bigger Bucks fan just by virtue of the fact that all the Bucks players seem to be huge Game of Thrones fans in the final scene of every week's episode.
Well, that's also, it's on HBO.
I know. That's just HBO synergy. I realize
literally
that.
Literally a commercial for Game of Thrones during the episode.
Yeah, but stars, they're just like us. So.
True.
All right. So, yeah, let's welcome our guest back to the podcast for the third year in a row. He's never been back in January because his team hasn't made the playoffs since his podcast started, but it's Kyle Appleyard. Here to talk Bucks, and this year I bet he thinks he is going to be back in January. Kyle, how's it going?
If I'm not back in January, I will be highly, highly disappointed. It's going very well, guys. And I'm interested to hear what your takes are as far as like the Buccaneers go on Hard Knocks, because you have the outsider's takes. I have sort of the insider takes, so I can kind of tell you guys the truth from the situation,
Kyle.
I'm right here. I'm right in the thick of it. So
I also see Kyle, his podcast, Word of the Bay podcast, which is not just Bucks, but all Tampa Bay sports, just did their 200th episode.
Oh, we just did our 200th episode.
We're like 60 ahead of us.
Yeah, I know. You guys are going to catch up real quick.
I was just thinking
that.
We do 32 in like 32 days, I guess that's the name of it. But so we may catch you at some point. 200th episode. How do you celebrate your 200th podcast?
We did what we normally do. We got together. We just talked sports, and I thought about doing something big.
You're
some
like
kind
a
of
Patriots podcast. Thing. You just keep working, keep grinding.
Just keep working. Just keep going, man. Yeah, just do your job, right? Patriots, yeah.
Go ahead, Akiva.
No, you go.
Well, I was just gonna say it's funny that we said how we're excited to talk about this team, because I'm looking at the power rankings I made, before we started this couple weeks ago, and it was before Hard Knocks debuted. And my comment for the Bucks was, and I quote, "A whole lot of meh. I can't think of any reason to be interested in this team. Maybe Hard Knocks will help." Well, it has. So credit to the HBO editors.
You know, I could see from the outside looking in how you would think that, because the Bucks go out and get like a 30-year-old guy in DeSean Jackson who's, you know, maybe arguably he could be past his prime. You got a quarterback in Jameis Winston who's had trouble really establishing himself as the number one pick that he is. I don't blame you for thinking that, because there isn't a lot of star power on this team from before, like pre-Hard Knock. So, yeah, that's a fair take.
Yeah, it is funny. I also think it's like, because, you know, the natural talking point would be like, will Jameis make the jump? But I don't think people are like waiting around. Like, if he does, great, and people will notice. But I don't think people are really waiting with bated breath for Jameis to make it. Let's talk about Hard Knocks for a second. As a fan, what have like been your takeaways from watching? And then we'll tell you, you know, the true takeaways.
I was very resistant to the idea at first. I thought, well, this is a distraction. This is just going to be.
And they consulted with you before they agreed to do it, right?
They did consult with me, and I was wholeheartedly against the idea. Mm-hmm. But I was not for it. I thought, whatever. I don't like this whole thing. I've warmed up to it, obviously. I mean, I love hockey. I love baseball. I love football. But the Bucks come first, and I get really giddy seeing these. People on screen. In fact, I was just watching the last episode, and there was a moment where our offensive tackle goes up to Jameis Winston. His name is J.R. Sweezy, and they're talking. They said, "Hey, man, it's a failure if we don't score every play." And they're like, "Yeah, I agree. I mean, we got to touch the ball and we got to score." And then before they part, they just go, "I love you, man." And he goes, "I love you too." And I was like, "Oh, that's how a quarterback and an offensive line should feel towards each other." I get so giddy and I get so like welled up with tears. I hate to say this, but I just get like all choked up when I watch that show. It's embarrassing, you guys.
I've always wanted my team to be on one of these shows, so I know what you mean.
Well, good. I was against it, but now I'm all for it. I love it.
The idea also, like, that this is your first quarterback that's done that. Jameis, you know, so Jameis, we actually, Chester and I did 6 hours of a three-part podcast, like miniseries on like the greatest 100 quarterbacks in NFL history. Mm-hmm. And I also had like we had a lot of like team specific stats built in there. And one of the amazing things we found was that You know, Vinny Testaverde was, I think, is still your all-time leading leader in passing yards.
Doesn't surprise me.
And that Jameis is going to take over in just 2 years. Assuming he stays healthy, he'll actually be the team's all-time passing leader.
Say.
A few games into next year. Do you know who's number two all-time on the Bucs passing yards list?
I would say let's Brad Johnson would be the easy answer. Let's say Josh Freeman. I would say Josh Freeman.
Yeah, Josh Freeman's two. I think Brad was three.
Josh at a certain point took over all the records.
Not ideal. Well, what are you going to do? You can't keep Josh Freeman out of the record books. He's in the UFL record books.
Oh, boy.
The guy
yeah.
who play in the league. So it is nice having it. But the question Chester and I had is, do you think he's playing up to the cameras, Jameis Winston? Because it does seem like walking around saying to every single person in the locker room, I got your back, I got your back. Like, is he playing for the cameras? Is he like kind of phony?
100%. Yeah, absolutely. And that's just kind of the guy who I always knew that he was and who he's always been. He ascends to this kind of stuff. This is who he is. Like, he's used to playing in that big stage when he was at FSU. He's the number one draft pick. He's been under intense scrutiny as a college player. I mean, with all the allegations and all the knocks against them. This is just who he is. He just rises to this kind of stuff, and he's used to being the brightest star in the room.
It's to me. Well, how about this? So we're going to have a lot of the Bucs of the AFC, of course, are the Titans, right? The team that hasn't done it yet. But people are and probably a little bit more so because they're in such a bad division and you guys are in such a good division. Yeah. I think people are expecting it of the Titans, and they expect the Bucs to be good, but nobody's mind will be blown if they're 9-7 and they miss the playoffs or something.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that being said, would you rather, as of right now, have Winston or Mariota?
Oh, boy. See, that's a tough question to answer because I've spent the last 3 years with Winston and I've seen all the things that he has to offer as far as off the field and on the field. However, I will say I'm a part of the minority in Tampa who still is just not okay with the kind of allegations that have been made against Jameis off the field in his college days. I'm still like not 100% on that, and I've made that very much known. So that's why I was more for Mariota in the, in the past. But now it's like what's done is done. Okay, you know, I can't see the Buccaneers being successful under anybody else but Winston. I that's a homer answer. But what can I say? I'm a homer.
Another 32. Another Hard Knocks thing I noticed is that of the 32 coaches in the league, Dirk Cutter might be the most vanilla of coaches.
Oh yeah,
and he's like wallpaper on the show. You barely notice him. Do you like Cutter? Is he just like, you know, a football nerd, like behind the scenes who's really game planning? Do the players like him?
Here's a little inside take for you gentlemen. So if you watched the last episode, you noticed there was a lot of chanting during the episode, right? There was a lot of B-U-C-C-A-N-E-E-R-S, and they were going, Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I heard
Yankee center field stuff.
That is a group called the Stick Carriers, hashtag the Stick Carriers, and they are led by a podcaster here locally called Justin Pawlowski, and he organized all of the stick carriers to go to that game to go and cheer that practice. Now, you might say, what does this have to do with Dirk Cutter? I'll tell you what this has to do, because last season, what Dirk Cutter said, he says, speak softly and carry a big mother effing stick, and from there, spawn the stick carrier. So here locally in Tampa, he has a big presence. There is an entire movement named after him. I get how you would think he's vanilla, but at least here locally, he's a big deal.
I was going to say, on the Bill Simmons podcast, carrying a big stick has a different connotation.
Jeez.
Especially when they have one particular guest. My biggest issue with Hard Knocks, and Akiva and I have discussed this on a couple previous episodes in this here podcast, is it's unclear to me who their audience is, because if you don't know a lot about football, you're coming away thinking that Jameis Winston is one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL, and that DeSean Jackson is one of the top 10 wide receivers in the NFL. Because they say that explicitly. They say, you know, it always helps to have a superstar quarterback. And they say that over and over. Like, Jameis Winston is... Right now, I'm not talking about his potential, but right now, based on what he's done the last 2 years, he's not an above average quarterback in the NFL.
No,
and DeSean Jackson is an aging small wide receiver who, you know, was not exactly like, you know, the jewel of the free agent class, as they said on the show.
Yeah, I think they get a lot of credit where credit may not be due, because if you look at what of if you look at what a lot of our successes were last season, it was our defense. And this season, including the preseason, what I've seen in camp, like the defense continues to just impress and press and press. But it just gets kind of put on to the shoulders of the number one draft pick quarterback, which I guess rightfully so. But again, here's another Buccaneers fan insider take. I mean, really, this has all been attributed to the defense. This whole 9-7 season, and the only reason that we're being talked about in playoffs talks is because our defense performed so well last season. I just saw a stat that I don't know exactly, but we averaged some kind of crazy high number of average points per game prior to our bye week, and then after the bye week, it just like completely dropped to like 17-something points a game. Defense. I really think that that's the start of the show here, but Jameis gets all the credit. He's the number one pick.
All right. Let's ask our you know, daily fantasy question of the day, brought to you by ESPN.com. ESPN.com, F Yahoo. All right, here's the question. So Doug Martin suspended the first three games.
Yep.
Jaquizz Rodgers, he's going to be the starter of the first three games, correct?
Yes.
Does he have
either Jaquizz Rodgers, or you could see Peyton Barber in there.
Peyton Barber's done well in the preseason. McNichols hasn't really done anything.
Or Snoop Dogg, running back, you might see him in there as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't scripted. They didn't really.
Oh,
like,
no, totally. That was totally organic, guys.
I'm sure he speaks to Snoop five times a day.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so do you think Jaquizz Rodgers could actually steal that job? Is he too small? What do you think is going to happen long term?
All reports out of camp and in the preseason as well, if you guys saw any highlights from that Jacksonville game, Doug Martin has been outstanding, and this is kind of indicative of how he's performed.
He's a great dancer, that's for sure.
You saw the little broom stick off the side of the stage when he was doing the Midnight at the Apollo routine. Yeah, that was amazing. But, you know, Doug Martin's always like, bad season, good season, bad season, good season. And he's due for a good season, and he's coming off a four-game suspension. He's motivated, and I believe that he's got some contract numbers coming up. I think Jaquizz Rodgers is going to fill in well. Nothing great, but I would suspect that Doug Martin might be a good pickup in your fantasy leagues if you're looking late rounds, maybe looking for guy to put
on the bench. Forgetting
about
fantasy for a second, it sounds crazy, but he hasn't been around that long. But Doug Martin's 28, and he'll be 29 in the playoffs. That's really old for a running back, and he ran for 2.9 yards per carry last year.
Yeah. I like the guy a lot. A lot of people are down on him. He's had seasons where he's been injured, and this year obviously he's been suspended for the first three games. But I really think that he's going to have a strong season this year. He's going to continue to do what he does. I'm aware of what he's capable of, and I think he's going to have a good year.
All right, let's move to
O.J. Howard. He hasn't got a lot of screen time, surprisingly.
Oh, yeah, nothing. I don't think he's been shown.
You know, he has got screen time, but it was hilarious because it was a part where they were like, they were talking to Jeremy McNichols, they were talking to O.J. Howard and some other guy, and they were like, well, this is your first preseason game. And they're like, yo, man, yeah, this is crazy. Like, O.J. Howard, you played at Alabama. Like, you've had multiple national championship games. Don't talk to me how important this preseason game is to you. Like, you've been there before, bro. But no, you're right. He hasn't got a whole lot of screen time, and he is very quietly looking good, I guess. I can't say anything else about him other than just he's had a good camp. He hasn't done anything really wrong. I suspect that he's going to be a big part of our offense this year as a tight end opposite Cameron Brait.
All right, talking about Gerald McCoy, do you think he is, like the show implies, the best defensive player in football? You know, like, is he, you know, would you put him above Watt, assuming Watt's healthy? You know,
no.
Give me some Gerald McCoy stuff.
I don't put him above Watt. I think, but at the same time, Watt's a different position. He's a defensive end. I mean, they're kind of more set up to make plays because they get a lot of those one-on-ones where they can go around the outside. Gerald McCoy is a defensive tackle and a three technique defensive tackle at that. He's there to eat up a lot of blocks, and he's there to kind of disrupt the middle for the guys around him. However, if you guys watched the second episode of Hard Knocks, I don't know if this is news to you or not, but I mean, this is something I've always known as a Bucks fan. Gerald McCoy is the best defensive tackle off the ball in the league, period. There is nobody better off the ball than Gerald McCoy. Mm-hmm. And you can see it every single game that you watch them. You just watch him. He's so quick off the ball, and that's really the key to his game. And I think, you know, based on that, he's second to none. However, best defensive lineman in the NFL, maybe not. No, I think he's up there. I think he's certainly top five. But the best, no.
Why does Chris Baker have carte blanche to like destroy the kicker's life? Oh,
dude, I love that. Why? Because if they
need to explain, there needs to be a scene. And like, this is like my reality TV brain, where like normally you'd see this like. Does he have permission to do this, or is he like a starter basically? So it's like, are he's allowed to? Like, is it? Does this work?
You think that was part of the free agent negotiations when they signed him this offseason?
Maybe. My thing was like
we need you to sass Aguayo to see if he can man up, and I guess he did
like,
not.
He like is rooting for them to miss kicks, and then like predicts out loud as they're kicking that they're going to miss it, and then like celebrates when they miss it. It's insane.
I mean, okay, so what? You're a Jets fan, and then Alex, I don't know who you're for.
Vikings.
That's right. Yeah.
So I mean, Akiva acts the same way when the Jets are lining up to kick field goals this season.
About it. If your kickers can't handle that kind of you know, they can't handle that kind of smack talking behind them, do you really think that they have the mental capacity to kick in the NFL?
Well, I assume that's why he was doing it, but the weirdest part is how he celebrates afterwards. Yeah. Like, afterwards, they've already missed. It doesn't matter at that point.
It would be like if there was a guy on a baseball team who's like, I need to toughen up the middle relievers. So I'm gonna like trash talk them as they pitch and like throw.
He's being a jerk, I guess. But I kind of liked it because you know there needs to be that sort of pressure behind him, because I mean, imagine the most pressure is that for the fourth quarter as the clock's ticking down kick. And I mean, if you can handle that, then you can certainly handle Chris Baker behind you talking a bunch of smack.
Yeah. Do the Bucks have the best?
I just thought it was such bad karma in the Seahawks-Vikings game this week. How Blair Walsh was taunting the Vikings sideline after he hit his 50-yard field goals. Oh, you didn't hear about this?
Oh, no. I
didn't know. He hit a 52-yarder, and he pointed to them, and he jawed, and then he hit another 52-yarder, and he walked towards Zimmer and pointed to him and said something. Oh. And it's like, you made two great field goals in a preseason game, congrats. But like, you're on a team that's going to make the playoffs. You have one very well-known playoff moment. It was a 27-yarder you missed. Like, why are you like... Like, if you have any respect for karma, why are you doing this?
Right, he wasn't being persecuted. He wasn't, like, fired.
Yeah, that's the thing. The Vikings were, like, very nice to him. I don't understand what he's mad at them for.
They should have actually, like, banned him from the city or arrested him.
I don't know. That's so strange to me, kicker, drama.
To the Bucks, I mean, I guess at least amongst 4-3 teams, the Bucks have the best, starting linebacker set in the league?
I don't know. I feel like I'm being a little bit more conservative than maybe some of your other guests might be, but
everyone's down on their teams this year. Except
are they really?
Yeah, because everyone knows that their team has no chance to win the Super Bowl. There's 31 teams that basically are irrelevant.
We have a strong linebacking core, and I just think that a lot of a big contention with the Bucks fans is like, hey, is Lavonte David as good as Luke Kuechly? And I would say no. I mean, he hasn't done enough. But when you look at sort of up and down, I think they're strong. Are they the best in the division? That remains to be seen. But again, our successes last year were built on our defense, and so much of what we did well was on the back of the likes of Quan Alexander and Lavonte David. So, yeah, I'm very optimistic. Let me say that. I'm very optimistic about this linebacking core.
Do you have a hard time rooting for Brent Grimes?
You know, Miko's been on our podcast before.
Really?
We interviewed her.
Yeah, she mentioned that last year.
She
would not. Let's just say she would not come on our podcast.
We made this exact same joke last year, Akiva.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
No way.
She
By the way,
I made the joke last year that you just made this year, Akiva. Go listen
to
last year's podcast.
I made the
same joke to you. I made the joke last year.
She agreed to come on, right? And so, like, we were like, okay, cool. And then, like, we settled on time, so we Skype her. And we Skype her, and, like, she's very clearly at, like, a drive-thru or, like a Carl's Jr. or something, and she's, like, ordering. And then, like, she says, like, she says to us, like, who is this? And I'm like, hey, it's Kyle, we're the Bay. And she's like, oh, and she proceeds to be very cool. I liked her a lot.
Can I say something that's going to like backfire on me for sure in like real life or something? I'm skeptical of any guy who marries a woman who is like 8 or more years older than them.
She's
8 years older than him, I think.
Oh, really?
So are you throwing some shade at the president of France?
Yeah, for sure. Yo, he's a
great married. Where did you pull that from?
Married is like a great teacher. What do you mean?
Yeah, his wife is 30 years older than him.
That's insane. I'm skeptical of both the man and the woman in this scenario. And I'm sure we have a couple listeners who are like that and, you know, whatever. You know you're weird. It's okay. So Brent Grimes, we don't like Miko. We don't like Brent. Vernon Hargreaves, I kind of like, though. He's becoming a good player.
Why don't you like Brent? He's old.
No,
and he's...
we don't like Miko. And his wife is
An anti-Semite.
Jesus. I think Brent is, I think he's on track to at least do as well as he did last season. I mean, he's getting older, but yeah. Everything I've seen in camp and preseason, he's been doing well.
Are you ready for America's favorite recurring segment, the roster game? Pick a number between 0 and 100, please.
Oh. I'll pick number 48.
48. I wonder if do people pick thinking that they're going to get like the number. I don't know. I don't know.
I was trying to pick away from like numbers that I did know.
Okay. Kendall Beckwith. Who is he?
No idea. Okay. I'll make a guess. He's a white guy.
No. Nope.
Special teams.
No, he's not white.
He's a safety.
No.
Nope. Oh, shoot. No.
He's a linebacker from LSU. He's a rookie. I assume if you don't know him, he's an undrafted free agent.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. No, we've drafted him. We drafted him with our fourth round draft pick.
Okay, yeah. So
out of LSU.
He's going to make the team.
Oh, boy. Wow. Yeah. I just look very foolish.
Well, I made the same joke we made 2 years in a row, so.
Okay.
You don't have to be too upset. All right, Chester, do we have an over-under for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year? I have a feeling we know where our friend Kyle's going to be going, but let's give him the number and see.
Sure. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over-under is 8.5, coming off a 9-7 season.
Okay.
Are you going over or under?
Oh, am I going? Oh, this is for me. I'm going over.
8.5.
Yeah. Not a bit surprised.
You think?
I think that's perfect. I think they're about an 8-8, 9-7 team.
Yeah, 8-8.5. I'm kind of bullish. I would go 8. I don't think that there's any chance they go 12-4, to be honest. But I do think, like, unless Jameis gets hurt and we have to see Ryan Fitzpatrick's stupid beard, I think they're for sure going to go at least 8-8. So, to me, I'm happy going over with, a very good chance of hitting 9 or 10 wins.
Yeah.
Akiva, you are slightly higher than them than I am. You had them number 13 in your power rankings, and I had them number 15. So
that's pretty
similar. And just like we had with Houston and Cincinnati, how we reversed ourselves and so they were tied, we do the same thing with Tampa Bay. There's a team in the NFC who I have a 13 and you have a 15. That's the Arizona Cardinals. So Tampa and Arizona are tied at 13 each.
Okay. Oh, that's
Do you think they're going to win the division, Kyle?
Oh boy, that's going to be a tough one. I mean, for as much crap as Falcon fans get and Carolina, even for the disappointing season that they had last year, they're still really, really good teams. And I feel like a lot of Bucks fans are laughing at Atlanta having lost the Super Bowl, but they seem to forget that they went to the Super Bowl. So
right, and we're beating the Patriots by 25. That's like kind of impressive.
It's
by the way, one of the most irritating things to me about Hard Knocks, to come back to that, is the fact that we have to see that stupid Lombardi trophy that the Bucks have so many times. Because, like, I'm a Vikings fan. And so the fact that, like, your shitty franchise, who was, like, a joke for most of its existence, has one of those and mine doesn't, it really grates on me.
No, it's great. Like, it's funny because, like, all these teams, like, prominently display their Lombardis. And you forget there's, like, 8 teams that don't have them. And, like, those teams are pathetic.
Oh, I don't forget, Akiva. I don't forget.
Like, even the Jets, the Jets have articles like the players wanted Lombardi closer to the field, you know.
Listen, when I was growing up in the 90s, the NFC Central, as was called at the time, was Vikings, North, Packers, Lions, Bears, and then like a complete joke. Like that orange team in Florida, they didn't belong geographically, they didn't belong on the field, they were just an embarrassment in all ways.
Fun fact. I've stood on Del Mabry as a child with T-shirts that said F Minnesota as the buses were coming into the stadium. So it was.
Yeah, what was the final outcome of that game? I would guess it was like 27-10 or something.
I don't know. Remember your best season? We beat you.
In the 98 season, the 15-1 season, the Bucks were the only team to beat the Vikings.
Yes, we were. I was at that game. I loved it.
Yeah, I think 27-24, was that it?
Something like that, yeah. I was too young.
I knew that team inside and out all the time.
All right, Kyle, so thanks so much for coming on again. Perhaps we will speak to you in January.
But I hope so.
If not, we'll speak to you for the fourth straight year, hopefully in 2018.
All right, Keith, so that's the Bucks. Should we jump right to the Cardinals now?
Yeah, let's do Cardinals.
All right. And let's swap to the team tied with them at 13th in our power rankings, because I have them 13 and you have them 15, and that's the Cardinals.
All right. My head's spinning.
Yeah, it seems basically like, you're looking forward a little bit. I'm looking backward because, the Cardinals are obviously an older team, better a couple of years ago, whereas the Bucks are a younger team. Maybe you're more influenced by Hard Knocks.
No, I mean, I they're pretty similar. I think they're obviously the narrative is that one of these teams is on the up and one is starting to slide. But they're two teams that probably aren't going to win the Super Bowl, but have a good chance of making the playoffs. And maybe they'll be fighting for one wild card spot.
All right, now, are the consensus worst guest that we've ever had on this show, I think, according to you and me and the listeners, was the Cardinals guest that we had for the last 2 years. Is that correct? Without mentioning him by name.
Yeah, well, no, we had a Titans guy on to the first one I think we ever did. The first episode in the podcast history. Oh, yeah. Was really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't great either. He hated Marcus Mariota with a passion. But anyways. Yeah, so our Cardinals fan was pretty bad, but you and I don't know that many Cardinals fans. Once upon a time, Will Leitch participated in the 32 fans in 32 days gimmick for the Cardinals. But we went far and wide, and we had to go all the way across the ocean to find a good Cardinals guest this year. And so we have flown to England.
The team with like the fewest fans in America probably has the most fans in England.
Yeah. Well, here's at least one. Joining us today to talk Cardinals is Tom Donlan from the British Bird Gang. So, Tom, welcome to the podcast.
Good afternoon.
So let's ask the first question. I guess it's afternoon for you. That's true. So the first question I have for you is, you live in England. How did you become an Arizona Cardinals fan?
Well, it's a short story, actually. I bought Madden 09 back in 2008 when I first got into the NFL. And on the Superstar boot, the Arizona Cardinals drafted my character. So I thought that was a good reason to choose them as my team. Then it also helped the play in red, which happens to be the same color as my football team. So, yeah.
And which one is that?
Crew Alexandra. Probably never heard of them.
Okay. I'm a Liverpool fan who also wears red, but so it was actually good timing because the Cardinals, as I'm sure you now know, have been historically inept for 70 years, but they made a Super Bowl shortly after you joined their fandom.
Yeah, but you've not been back since, so I'm just waiting for that to happen again.
Yeah.
I thought it might have been like this every year.
How are you feeling coming into this season?
Well, I think this season we've got a decent team being put together. Yeah, last year it was pretty much a disappointment. So hopefully this year won't be anything like that.
And I guess it really starts at quarterback with Carson Palmer. 2 years ago, obviously, he plays at an MVP caliber level, and the Cardinals are really good. Even the year before that, they start out 6-0 with Palmer, and then he gets injured and things sort of sputter. So this team seems to be really dependent on a good performance and the health of Carson Palmer, which is a risk considering how old he's getting and sort of, how his career has gone other than that one renaissance year in 2015.
Yeah, it's a fair way to look at it. I mean, this could be his last year as well, given his age.
So it's his last year, meaning that things might go really badly, or?
I think he might hang up his boots at the end of this year.
So you don't sound like you're that confident about him this season.
I think he might have a good year, but it might be his last year. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And we've not got anyone really to take over from him. So it's this year or bust, really.
Well, what do you do? Because you're not going to be bad enough to get like a top 10 pick, right?
Yeah, I don't think we're that bad.
Like what's the solution after Palmer? Well, who's his backup right now?
At the moment, it's Drew Stanton. But he really should be playing Gabbert.
All right, so Drew Stanton, neither Stanton nor Gabbert are, I think you'd agree, are the quarterbacks of the future. So they really, the answer to 2018, you're saying, is not probably on the roster right now.
Probably not, no.
So does this feel like the last chance, really, for this Cardinals team then?
I think it could be, yeah, because we've got Carson Palmer getting old, got Larry Fitzgerald as well, and Bruce Arians, he's had his issues. So it could be the last year for all three.
You think Arians might retire?
Oh, wow.
I mean, I hope that's not the case, but it could be. Worst case scenario.
Let's talk about the weapons that Palmer has for a second. So obviously you have, you know, arguably the best or one of the best two or three running backs in the game, who, you know, the Cardinals almost got by accident, I think, because, you know, at least from – wait, they weren't on Hard Knocks, Keith. They were on the Amazon show, right?
Yeah, they were on the Amazon show All or Nothing. Tom, did you watch that?
I did, yeah. It was a good show.
It was a really good show. And they picked the right season because the Cardinals played some great games in 15.
Yeah, but it made it clear that David Johnson was sort of acquired by the Cardinals by accident. They didn't really know what they had in him. But let's talk about the receivers for a second. So you know, coming into last season, it's thought of as the Cardinals have three really good receivers. You know, just a plethora of riches there. John Brown, sort of a disaster season after the year before. We had like 9 touchdowns or something. He really no-showed. Michael Floyd, obviously even worse on the field, off the field. Ironically, he ends up with a Super Bowl ring because he spent like 5 seconds in New England. So now you guys, other than Fitz, it's I guess John Brown gets another chance. They have Jaron Brown behind him and J.J. Nelson. A lot of guys with a lot of speed and downplay potential, but they haven't really showed up yet. So, I mean, do you see another receiver emerging other than Fitzgerald?
Well, they've had Jaron Brown. He's made it up to... He's starting opposite from Larry Fitzgerald at the moment. So it'll be them two. Hopefully John Brown, if he gets his injury issue sorted. J.J. Nelson just needs to be marked.
So you think Jaron Brown is starting ahead of John Brown?
He is at the moment, yeah. He was this past week. By the way, named him.
What is with this team having guys with the same... Like, they have multiple Browns at wide receiver, multiple Johnsons at running back. It's very confusing.
They've got Williams as well. Several Williamses. It must be how they scout them, I think. Just on name.
It makes it easier, yeah.
I do like the name Smoke. I think Smoke Brown for John Brown is one of the best nicknames in the NFL.
Yeah, but he hasn't really justified it.
And also, there's not really anything at tight end, right? Past the aging receiving core. Like, there's really, you know, who's the top tight end? Jermaine Gresham?
Yeah, that's right. And then there's Troy Nicholas behind him, but he spends more time off the field than on it.
Right. There's a Ricky Seals-Jones. I'm not... is he going to make the team?
I'd be surprised if he does. I don't think he's made much progress in preseason. And he's not done... He's not, like, shown up in any of the games.
All right,
let's one or two catches.
Let's move to the front seven. A lot of names that people would know, like Deion Buchanan, Carl Stansby, and Chandler Jones. But how does the front seven look? Do you think this is like a top 10 unit? Is this one of the strengths of the team?
I think with Calais Campbell gone, that might not be the case anymore. The front seven's pretty much... Well, we've got Carlos Dansby came back in. He'll be probably starting along with Deion Buchanan. They're both healthy, which they haven't been at the moment.
And they added Hassan Reddick also.
Yeah. He was their first round pick. He's been starting with Buchanan being on the PUP list.
And what about in the secondary? You lost Tony Jefferson and Marcus Cooper, right? They added Antoine Bethea.
Yep, and also...
I mean, the real question is Honey Badger's health, right? Probably.
Yeah, pretty much. But he's been having a good preseason. So hopefully that carries on into the season and he stays injury-free.
Yeah, we keep coming back to injuries. I just think that's really like what's going to define things for this team. You know, the quarterback play could be the difference between 11-5 and 6-10, just if Palmer's healthy and playing well. And, you know, just across the board, especially as the team's getting older, they're so dependent on health more than just about any team we've discussed.
Yeah, it does seem that way. Didn't think about that before.
What about Scooby Wright? He was such a good player in college. How's he looking? Is he making the team?
I think he'll make the team, yeah.
I do like the name Scooby. All right, Tom, are you ready for America and possibly now England's favorite game show? And that's the roster game, Tom. All you have to do is pick a number between 0 and 100.
Any number.
Any number between 0 and 100.
89.
All right. Tom, tell us everything you know about Britton Golden.
Britton Golden, okay. He's a wide receiver. Yeah.
His name is Britton. Come on.
Now, by the way, that was a total coincidence. I'm not even smart enough to have made that connection.
Well, he's a wide receiver. Last year, he ended up playing some cornerback due to injuries. More injuries again.
Wow.
He's a good deep threat.
The Cardinals are so anonymous, I didn't even realize they had a receiver playing defensive back.
I thought he actually played it in-game, but he was, like, practicing there.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. So Britton Golden from West Texas A&M, where if you can't get into Texas A&M, you probably shouldn't go to college. But if you want to go to college, go to West Texas A&M.
Yeah, I never heard of West Texas A&M.
All right, let's do the schedule game quickly with Tom, okay?
Okay.
Tom, we're going to throw the 2017 schedule at you. You just tell us if it's going to be a W or an L, okay? All right, week one. The Cardinals actually start with two games on the road, so in Detroit in week one.
W.
All right, and then in Indianapolis in week two.
W.
All right, so 2-0 on the road, and then you come home Monday Night Football home opener, not till September 25th, hosting the Cowboys.
W.
So 3-0. Oh, wow. Very confident, Tom. He was hiding his confidence. Hosting the Niners, week four, to get to 4-0.
I said W for that.
Oh, my gosh, Tom. 4-0 in Philly the next week.
I'll go for an L. It last went somewhere.
Okay, finally. So we're not going 16-0 this year.
No.
4-1, hosting the Buccaneers.
I say W.
Wow. 5-1, and then you go to Jared Goff and the Rams.
That's the one in Twickenham, that is. So I'd be hoping for a W there.
Cardinals Rams, always tough, right?
I'd hope for a W there, yeah.
So you're saying that's a win?
Yeah.
You're gonna be 6-1 at the bye week. That's crazy. Carson Palmer, he's not retiring, he's the MVP at this point. All right, so you go to the Niners after the bye. You give Bruce Arians 2 weeks, what happens?
A W. It's the Niners.
Oh my gosh. You're gonna win. You're gonna sweep the Niners.
Yeah.
So you're 7-1?
I mean, if they're not sweeping the Niners, they have no chance at the playoffs.
Well, fair enough. All right, so short week, you come home. Seahawks on Thursday Night Football in Arizona.
L.
That's an L.
Yeah.
Okay, so 7-2. Tom, have you ever been to a Cardinals home game?
I haven't, no.
You haven't? Do you plan on...
Is it on the to-do list?
Is it on the bucket list?
It's definitely on the to-do list, yeah.
Wait, what team do you support in the Premiership, if any?
I don't follow any in the Premiership. I just like watching football.
Oh, okay. Too bad, because you're speaking to a lifelong Newcastle Magpies fan.
He told us the name of his team, but we never heard of it because we're ignoramuses.
What's his team?
Crew Alexandra.
Oh, I've heard of Crew. Oh, they're in like the third division, no?
League 2, so like the fourth division, basically, yeah.
League 2, that's fourth division. Wow. Yikes. But if they ever make it, watch out. All right, so 7-2, going to Houston. Long week. 10 days off after the Thursday night game.
Say a W for that.
8-2. And then guess what? The thing every 8-2 team wants, a 3-game easy homestand hosting the Jaguars, Rams, and Titans. What do you think about that 3-game homestand?
I'll say 2-1 in that. I think the Titans might beat us.
Oh, the Titans beat you guys. Okay.
Yeah.
You're 10-3. You're heading towards bye territory. You go to Washington to play the R-Words the next week.
I'll go for an L there.
All right, so 10-4, another NFC East team. This one's at home against the Giants.
I'll say a W, I think.
11-4. Do you think 12-4 gets you a bye? Probably does in the NFC, right?
I'd say so, yeah.
All right, but you go to Seattle. You already lost them at home. This game probably matters for Seattle also. You know, you're 11-4. If they're 11-4, 12-3, or 10-5, then it could be for the division.
Yeah, give us an L there.
All right, so you go 11-5. Pretty, you know, tough second half of the season. You go, I think, 7-1, then 4-4. But 11-5 should be good for a playoff spot. Only one team ever has missed the playoffs at 11-5.
The Patriots.
Yeah, just the Castle Patriots.
So, yeah, so the Cardinals are over-unders 8.5. So you are definitely going over on that.
Yeah, definitely get over on that.
All right, and Tom, I want to go back to this for a second. So you said you became a Cardinals fan because they drafted you in Madden. I guess my question is, what led a British bloke such as yourself to purchase Madden in an American football video game anyhow?
I've been a football fan for all my life. Like, soccer, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
But I was getting bored of that, so it was like after a new sport to follow, and the NFL just stood out.
You needed more violence.
Yeah, pretty much. So I picked up Madden.
So you're taking the over under on the 8.5. Keith, what about you?
You know, you got two teams in the division that I really don't like, the Niners and the Rams. So it's pretty easy. The NFC West has been pretty brutal, even when the elite teams play the weaker teams. So it's not like you're going to go 4-0 against those teams, in my opinion. I think you had them going 4-0 against those teams. But I think they're right on that line. I think if Palmer plays 14 games, then the worst they're going to do is 8-8. So I'm going to say I wouldn't bet a lot of money either way, but I'm actually going to go under and say they're going 8-8.
Yeah, I think it's just this team is so dependent on health, and you know we saw last year they went 7-8-1, and Palmer was relatively healthy. He was just old, and especially if, as Tom says, this might be his last season. As we discussed on the Quarterback Rankings podcast, it's very rare for a guy to end his career on a high note. You know, even when the team does well, like Peyton Manning, for example, though the player's right. Not doing very well.
I mean, Elway retired. Yeah, but you're right. It is rare.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're going to be seeing a lot of Blaine Gabbert in Arizona this year.
Then this team could have like a top 8 draft pick. That's the problem. Their basement after their starting quarterback, because they have such a weak, they need a good backup more than any other relevant team, and they don't have a good backup. So to
yeah,
me,
but it's across the board. The talent, the frontline talent for one game, I think this team is definitely a contender. But the problem is over 16 games, I'm just very nervous.
I agree.
So, yeah, I have number 13 in my power rankings. I think that they will compete for a playoff spot. But if I had to go over or under, I think I would take the under. But, yeah, it's a stay away. I'm not betting on it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Chester, is that it? I think.
Yeah, Tom, how do you feel about us trashing your team?
I'd just like be more people to prove them wrong.
Well, what's your take on Akiva deciding suddenly never being interested in the Premier League to adopt Newcastle as
never
his team?
Never being
this
interested
year?
In the Premier League. I've been a Newcastle fan since 1991. I don't know what Chester's talking about.
So Tom, on the podcast a couple of months ago, he decided to adopt.
What is this? An episode of explaining the bits? Like, get out of here. But Tom,
yeah,
do you go to the 3 London games? Or I don't even know if you live near London, but do you go to the NFL games when they come to town?
I've been in the past, but I've not been for the past few years because I've not been that interested in any of the matchups. But I'm going this year because
Cardinals, and the Cardinals have not come yet.
They're coming this year.
They are. Oh, so you're going?
Yeah, I'm going this year.
I have a question. Would you say what's the breakdown of British fans of NFL teams? Like, is it just sort of all over the place, or are there some teams that have more support than others? Do the Jaguars, because they're always coming, and Shahid Khan has the British connection? Do they have more fans than one would expect?
I think they've got quite a few fans over here. Well, no numbers,
the Jaguars do.
Yeah.
So unlike America, where they have no fans.
Yeah. They've probably got more fans over here than they have over there.
And what about in general?
In general, probably looking at the Cowboys, the Dolphins, the Bears.
Like the Dolphins?
The Patriots, because they've got England in the name.
Yeah. Is that really? Yeah, but it's the Patriots. It's like, it's the Patriots, the people who went to war against the British 250 years ago. So it's New England, not Old England. But all right, I like how the English NFL fans are choosing their teams. All right, Tom, so thanks so much. You're on Twitter at BritishBirdGang.com. Do you know any other British Cardinals fans?
Well, since I started up the Twitter account, probably found about hundreds of more. I thought there was only me at the start, so.
Have you guys had meetups?
We've got a few this year coming up. Later in the year.
Oh, all right.
I have a question for Tom. Your Twitter profile says you are Josh Morrow's number one fan. Why do you like Josh Morrow in particular?
It's because he's from St. Albans in the UK. That's where he was born.
Oh, he's born in England. Oh, so he's your guy. I got it.
That's why.
Wait, who is that? I don't know who that is.
He's a linebacker. He's a linebacker on the team.
Oh, okay. All right, Tom. Thanks so much for joining us. Good luck to the Cardinals this year. And if you make the playoffs, we may have you back on the podcast in a few months.
Yeah, that would be great.
All right, thanks for coming on, Tom.
Thanks.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.